Have you ever flown into a small airport, maybe somewhere in the Pacific Islands or a mountain town in Southeast Asia, and looked out the window at the airplane that got you there? Chances are it had two turboprops spinning on a high wing. Chances are it was an ATR, I'm Tower, and this is AT Eyes on Radio Hangar. Few manufacturers get to own a niche. Boeing and Airbus fight over the narrow-body and wide-body markets with hundreds of billions of dollars on the line, but there's a quieter corner of commercial aviation where one company has planted its flag so firmly that competitors have mostly just walked away. That company is ATR, and the niche is the turboprop regional market. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what prompted this. ATR's chief commercial officer recently laid out the company's strategy in an interview with AeroTime. And the argument is worth paying attention to whether you fly a Skyhawk on weekends or manage a regional airline fleet. The core thesis is simple. The turboprop is not a compromise. It is the right tool for a specific job. And that job is not going away. Let's back up for a second. ATR is a joint venture between Airbus and Leonardo, the Italian aerospace company. They build two airplanes, the ATR-42, which seats about 50 passengers, and the ATR-72, which seats about 70. That's it. Two models, they've been refining these designs for over 40 years now. And the latest variant, the ATR-72-600, is the benchmark for the category. Here's what you need to know about why this matters. There are thousands of airports around the world, particularly in developing regions, island nations, and mountainous terrain, that simply cannot support jet operations. The runways are too short. The infrastructure is too basic. The passenger volumes don't justify a 150-seat narrow body. But the communities served by those airports still need air connectivity. They need it for economic development, for medical access, for tourism. This is where the turboprop lives, and ATR dominates this space with roughly 75% of the market for turboprop airliners in the 40 to 70 seat category. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here. What ATR's commercial chief is really saying is that the turboprop market isn't just surviving, it's structurally necessary, and that argument holds up when you look at the economics. A turboprop burns roughly 30 to 40% less fuel than a regional jet on routes under 300 nautical miles. On a per-seat basis, the ATR-72 burns about half the fuel of a comparable regional jet. When you're flying 600-mile legs or less, which is the bread and butter of regional connectivity, the speed difference between a turboprop cruising at 275 knots and a regional jet at 400 knots is maybe 20 to 30 minutes in the air. For the passenger, once you factor in boarding and taxi, you barely notice for the airline that fuel savings drops straight to the bottom line. And this is where it gets interesting for the broader aviation world. The push towards sustainability in commercial aviation is actually making the turboprop argument stronger, not weaker. When airlines and governments are counting carbon, an airplane that burns half the fuel per seat on short routes starts to look not just economical, but politically essential. ATR has been leaning into this, positioning the turboprop as the greenest option for regional flying that exists today, not in some theoretical future, but right now in service on the ramp. Now you might be thinking, what about electric aircraft? What about hybrid electric designs? Those are real and they're coming. But the timeline for a 70-seat electric regional airliner is measured in decades, not years. Battery energy density simply isn't there yet for that size of aircraft and that range. ATR knows this, and their bet is that the turboprop will remain the tool of choice for regional connectivity well into the 2040s and possibly beyond. They're also exploring sustainable aviation fuel compatibility and eventually hybrid propulsion for their platform, which means the turboprop could evolve rather than be replaced. There's another dimension to this story that connects to general aviation more than you might think. The health of regional air service matters to GA pilots because it determines the health of regional airports. When a small airport loses its scheduled airline service, the economics of maintaining that airport change dramatically. Tower and approach services may be reduced. FBO operations may close. Fuel availability may decline. The regional turboprop, by keeping scheduled service viable at small airports, helps maintain the infrastructure that GA pilots depend on too. ATR currently has about 1,300 aircraft in service with more than 200 operators in over 100 countries. Think about that spread for a moment. 200 operators, 100 countries. Many of these are in places where the ATR is quite literally the only connection to the wider world. In Papua New Guinea, in the Maldives, across the Caribbean, in Scandinavia, where short hops connect communities separated by fjords and mountains. The competitive landscape is worth noting too. Bombardier exited the turboprop market years ago when they discontinued the Dash 8, now called the de Havilland Canada Dash 8 after the program was sold. De Havilland Canada has been trying to restart production, but it's been a difficult road. That essentially leaves ATR as the only manufacturer actively building and delivering new build turboprop airliners in this class. There are some new entrants being discussed, and Embraer has hinted at a possible turboprop program, but nothing is in production today that competes head-to-head with the ATR 72. This affects you if you care about the future shape of regional aviation. The trend in North America over the past 20 years has been toward fewer regional airports with scheduled service, larger regional jets, and longer routes. The turboprop has retreated in markets like the United States, where airlines chase speed and passenger perception over pure economics. But rising fuel costs and sustainability mandates could reverse that trend. If a turboprop saves an airline 30% on fuel and cuts carbon emissions in half on routes under 400 miles, the math eventually wins even in the American market. ATR's pitch is essentially that they're not trying to compete with jets. They're solving a different problem. Regional connectivity, last-mile air service, routes that jets can't serve profitably or physically. And when you frame it that way, the turboprop isn't a step backward. It's purpose-built for a mission that isn't going away. For the pilot in the left seat of an ATR, it's a good airplane to fly. Pilots who've transitioned from regional jets often talk about how the ATR feels more like real flying. You're hand-flying more. You're dealing with weather at lower altitudes. You're operating into challenging airports with short runways and non-precision approaches. It's a demanding environment that builds strong aviators. So when you see that high-wing turboprop parked at a regional gate, maybe give it a second look. It's not the glamorous end of aviation, but it might be the most essential. This one came from the team at Aerotime. Good reporting on a corner of the industry that doesn't get enough attention. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly smart.